Startup.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from Startup.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Julian Pfeiffer, a very young entrepreneur who's already making waves in the startup world with his company, Key One. But before he was an entrepreneur, Julian was a promising footballer, even playing for the youth team of Eintracht Frankfurt. Growing up in a family of successful entrepreneurs, he learned early on the importance of innovation, leadership, and perseverance. Now with Key One, he's taking on the world of digital payments and identity validation. Julian, thank you for being here with us today. We're excited to dive into your journey and learn from your experiences.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Joe.
Totally my pleasure. Let me tell you a few words about our enabler, HTII and the Enterprise Europe Network Hessen, made this recording possible. Thank you very much for them. You can learn more down here in the show notes. Julian, could you start by telling us a bit about your entrepreneurial journey and how you transitioned from being a youth footballer with Eintracht Frankfurt? For everybody who doesn't know it, they're senior, their top team. So they do have more teams in this association. Their top team plays pretty good in the number one Bundesliga here in Germany, to becoming a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah. So for me, much changed during the COVID-19 pandemic. Since I decided that time to stop playing for Eintracht Frankfurt, and due to many regulations, I also did homeschooling. And in that time, after doing these tasks from home, I kind of liked that and stayed in the homeschooling process and did not went back to the normal educational way. After some time, the tasks in school were a bit too boring. Now, no matter if it's the normal educational way or from homeschooling, it's why I decided to start studying business informatics by my own. And meanwhile, during that time, I then had many internships at different companies. For example, I was at a health portal, at an online shop, at a law firm, at a software firm, at a telecommunications company, at an IT service firm, and many more. And during one of these internships, the idea for Key One came, and I founded it shortly before my 16th birthday. So still with 15, and 2 weeks ago now I turned 17.
That is pretty young. to be an entrepreneur, but I think there's a lot of promise in you. Talk a little bit about growing up with an entrepreneurial father must have had a significant impact on your own journey. How did your father's work influence your decision to start your own business?
I think for sure it definitely influenced my decision to start my own business. At the end of the day, it was still my own will to do something, and I just had a lot of positive examples from home, because my father and also my mother, my parents, they all always have a positive work attitude. Also, I joined my father from time to time in the office. Maybe I was not doing the things that I do right now, but just to get the first impressions in the early days. And also, if my parents had discussions about the business and the companies at home at dinner, I also try to get some informations and just to hear what's up. And since I had the opportunity to get as many informations, I think it was really good for my start. And also nowadays, I'm able to ask my dad any question at any time. So it definitely influenced my decision to start Key One. Yeah.
So basically, at dinner table, you do have your own coach, which is pretty neat. Going a little bit into your personal entrepreneurial journey, you just told us you effectively started your company when you were 15. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that comes along with its own set of challenges. Mm-hmm. What were biggest obstacles you face, and how did you overcome them?
I think the biggest problem we had at the beginning was kind of the hen and egg problem. what comes first, the hen or the egg? For us, it was since our business model is like that we have on one side shops that use the online shops that use our solution, and also users that use our solution. And if you do not have any shops and do not have any users that use Keyone, it may be not too easy to get the first customers. What did we do to overcome it? We just literally walked through the streets here near Frankfurt. And we're trying to convince local shops that also had an online store. So at the beginning, we were doing pretty good with that and convinced many online shops at the beginning. And for sure, now this is going automatically and we do not need to go manually on the streets anymore. But at the beginning, that was the way we overcome that these obstacles, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You already went a little bit into Keyone. It's an innovative approach to simplify addresses, delivery, and payment methods. Can you walk us through the idea for how Keyone came about and what sets you apart from other solutions? We may also add that in Germany, mail delivery is usually pretty easy. You have even and uneven numbers on one side of the road, but the trouble starts when this is not the case. For example, even and uneven numbers, you have only numbers on one side of the road. Or for example, I do have friends who live in one street, but do have the street address from the back entrance or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's when it starts to get really confusing, right?
Yeah, there are a few things where mistakes could happen. So the idea for Keyone and I then came when I was doing one of my internships at an online shop, because people were typing in some crazy stuff in the checkout process, because there are the normal fields like the postal code, the street, the house number, the city, the street name, and some people were typing then in their postal code into the house number field, and the next one was typing in his street name at the city field. And because of that, sometimes we had to change it manually at this online shop, or we even had also address validation systems. But sometimes they were not working properly. Because of that, I thought then, okay, we need to change something about it, because there were many costs for this online shop, because the package needs to get sent out once, yeah, then the package will not be delivered because there's something wrong in the address. It will come back again. We have to pay the fees for the transport again. Then someone in the customer support needs to maybe write an email or even call the customer and then send it out again. So the costs were too high. Where I thought, okay, we need to have a platform where we have centralized user data, which is really correct. And then the idea for Keyone came to just save all your data behind one key, behind your ADAN. Over the time, the benefits added up. Yeah. At the beginning, the key benefit we thought was the deliverability. But, over time, we have now many, many more benefits than not only the delivery, but maybe I will say a bit more about that later, here in our podcast. But, the unique selling point of Keyone has a unique selling point since we are the only solution like that on the market with these functionalities.
When you've been talking about simplifying delivery addresses, what came to mind, for example, is like all the farms that are located somewhere outside of towns, or the former mills who are very much hidden close to a river or a creek somewhere. I vividly remember working for the Red Cross and looking for address that literally said outside number 17. And you just were sure that it was outside of the town. So how can you help with better delivery there?
On that point, we have added some features. I don't know if you know it right now. It's called What's Rewards Address, for example. Exactly. It's a company from the US, and they have nine square meter squares all over the world. So it's a three word address. For example, it's called now tree, green and floor. I don't know. And then we know roughly where the address is, as well as we have the geodata where users can type in their address on the square meter exact. For example, also with block houses or anything similar. Sometimes the delivery man, he does not know maybe where the entrance is now. So people can really point where the door is now for ringing or, yeah, packing the packages if someone is not at home.
Mm-hmm. When you talked about this, what came to mind is a hunting cabin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As someone with a background in sports, do you think your experience as a former football player has shaped your leadership style or your approach to team building in your startup?
Yeah, I think in general, my whole mindset and my personality is influenced by my past, respectively by my sport experience. To maybe make a few examples, I think what I learned from my past sport experience is maybe to always be fearless, yeah. Just do whatever comes and try it out. But also a thing which comes from sport is to always want to win and to have fun and enjoy what you are doing. I think if someone wants to build up a big company and does not have fun in his daily activities, he wouldn't be able to get it successful. So just enjoy what you're doing and have fun. But except of that, always keep going no matter how hard the obstacles are, and maybe learn a bit of every challenge or every problem to also, yeah, grow personally. Discipline, a big point in my eyes. So discipline maybe and being positive all the time are the key facts maybe that shaped my mindset and personality from my sport experience. Maybe what I can also add here is that no one in my family ever played football before or had any knowledge in this field. So I really had to invest a lot to be successful also in that field. Yeah.
For our audience, Julian has faced a lot of challenges early in his entrepreneurial journey. For those listening who may be considering starting their own business, what would you say is the single most important trait to succeed in those early stages? Drop your thoughts in the comments below. We'd love to hear what our audience thinks. Innovation and growth. One of key ones innovations is the IDAN system. It sounds pretty similar like the IBAN system, which simplifies the address and payment process. Can you explain how this system works and what benefits does it bring, especially from the perspective of the customer and the merchants? Because I think we already understand pretty well how we get our packages delivered to a outside farm, an external mill, or some other place like a hunting cabin.
Yeah, for sure. So IDAN stands for International Delivery Address Number, and like I explained before, users are able to save the data which they need for an online checkout behind their IDAN. So they will save their invoice addresses, their delivery addresses, their payment method, and many more features behind this item, and then have the opportunity in the online shop to just order with their seven, yeah, maybe I can add that, it's seven digits long and alphanumeric. So my item, for example, is now 1 Julian. And in the checkout process, you just need to type in your item and then can directly order from there on, and do not need to type in your data manually or create an account now at this online shop to register. Only the IDAN is needed for the checkout. Also, a big benefit for the users is the data security. I mean, for sure, if you have only one website or one platform where you saved your data, you don't need to register at 20 online shops. For example, I think the average registrations that every user has is like 25 registrations on online shops. Also, let's say now someone would move from Frankfurt to Berlin and is registered at 25 online shops. He would need to change his address at every online shop where he's registered. For example, now it's the 25 with key one. He will change his address once. The newest version will get saved in the database. And the next time there will be a fetch from the online shop, he will directly have the new address in the checkout process. It's also maybe a nice feature. But except of that, the users have the benefit that we have discounts and vouchers with nearly all of our partner shops. That means you are not only able to just save your data after your registration, you are even able to get, let's say, 10% at the bike shop, 5% on toys, sometimes even up to 70-80% that you just get exclusively with Keyone or iDEN. Maybe that was it for now for the user side. Otherwise, I will talk too much. For the shops, the biggest benefit that we now receive from feedback, but also from case studies, is the new customer acquisition. Yeah, as you can imagine, if you have a big database with user data, you just need to promote, for example, now an online shop on your platform, on your website, or say here, this online shop is offering this deal, for example, and directly users will try to order there, and they will get many new customers and can even make them to customers which will last long and order more often than only once. Also for the online shops, there is kind of, but let me say it like this, maybe why is everyone ordering at Amazon? At Amazon, everyone is ordering because it's that easy. You can check out quickly. You have saved all your data, so you just need to put your product into the cart and can directly order. If you now have such a Amazon similarity, I would say, in many online shops where you just need to type in your key now and can order from there on without creating an account or typing in your data manually, this could also be a big benefit for smaller shops to get maybe a bigger percentage of the market. I do not want to compare here Keyone with Amazon to put Amazon as a competitor, but that's also a benefit in my eyes. And for sure, like we mentioned already, with the addresses, with the correct delivery addresses and invoice addresses, shops won't have any problems with the transport and deliveries. Yeah.
I was actually smiling here on my side when you said your Keyone address is Julian 1. I was wondering, can you choose like any word and number combination there? Because there are a lot of people out there with a wicked sense of humor. I do see a lot of... not safe for work names that they'll also come up in this process.
Nearly every iDEN is possible. It's, for example, now with the zero and the O, so you are not able to have a zero or an O in your iDEN, so that we do not have any kind of issues when people do not know, do I have a zero now in my iDEN or an O? That's why this is not possible. But otherwise, except of some words which are blocked, you are able to choose any iDEN, yeah.
I see. And the other thing which would have been come in for me pretty handy is, I was smiling again because I'm sure you're not old enough to have ever experienced this, but credit cards do have an expiration date a few years in the future, which at one point made me and Startup Radio a very big headache because I got a new card and I did not remember where I had like the old card on file, and it gave me like two months additional work just because this credit card expired and I had to make sure to put the new data into like all the places, which was also something I could have avoided with that.
Yeah, for sure. So I did not have this problem yet, like you mentioned, but that would also be a thing we could avoid. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was wondering, what role does innovation play in your company's growth strategy, and how do you keep the team motivated to continually innovate in such a competitive market? You just talked about Amazon. There's now Temu. There's now Shine, and a lot of local and European big players as well.
So we do not only have innovation like on the technology part or the development part. We have innovation in every part of the company, especially in marketing, with maybe now finding new platforms for winning users, which are maybe not too overloaded yet with other companies doing marketing on it, or if it's on content creations now. So there are multiple areas in the company where we are doing innovation. About the team, keeping the team motivated, I do not have any difficulties with that, because we have such a nice and dynamic young team that everyone is motivated all the time, and then at the general the company culture and all this is very good for us. Why we do not have any issues with that.
I see. For our audience, KeyOne's IDEN system is an innovative solution in the digital payment space. I was wondering, for our listeners who are also in tech and the startup world, have you come across any similar innovations that are changing the game for an industry? Feel free to share your thoughts and interesting innovations you've come across down here in the comments. You guys at KeyOne are growing rapidly. How do you manage? You already talked about company culture, the company culture, and to maintain a strong team dynamic in with such complex with when the company expands so greatly. So I think that's a challenge for almost every entrepreneur out there.
Yeah. Like I mentioned before, the culture for us at KeyOne is for me, it's the perfect culture. It's like friends and family, the team, and we are laughing together. We are eating together. We are cooking together, even sometimes in the office. Maybe we are even going out after work together. So I could not imagine a better team. I'm really, really grateful for that. So also we do not have any difficulties with maintaining a good culture in between, because like I mentioned, we are a young team and dynamic, and everyone has its experience in some areas, while we are able to also grow rapidly.
Mm-hmm. I see. We will be back after a short ad break. Welcome back, guys, to our interview with Julian, the founder of KeyOne, that offers a unique delivery IDEN address. I'm talking about market trends and entrepreneurship here. We're seeing a lot of emerging trends in the tech and startup ecosystem, especially with the rise of digital payments and identity validation solutions. How do you see the market evolving over the next 3 to 5 years? And where do you think KeyOne fits into that picture?
I see various development directions in the e-commerce market. And KeyOne is, profiting nearly of all of them. I think AI, artificial intelligence, will play a transformative role also in the e-commerce market. And we even anticipate there are solutions that go beyond what we can currently imagine. Also for KeyOne, I maybe will say something about that later, about artificial intelligence. But also now, after a few years without a big growth in the e-commerce market, I think that in the next few years, the e-commerce market will definitely grow. Also, will even outperform the local shops even more now, since it's also getting easier for people to start their first shop or a new shop, with now the launch of TikTok Shop in Germany, and also other social media apps like Instagram or Meta, Instagram and Facebook, where people are able to have their own shop and get in touch with e-commerce industry and maybe have the first shop. And if it's going quite well for them like that, they would maybe also build up their first real online shop without a social media app. Why I think the e-commerce will still grow. And also I saw a study a few days ago that in the next few years, 60% of all purchases in online shops will be done over digital wallets. Yeah? And KeyOne is the only solution in Germany with these functionalities. Also for the digital wallet point now. Where do I see KeyOne in the next 3 to 5 years? I see KeyOne in the next 3 to 5 years as the leading company in that case in the DACH region. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being young and active in the startup world, how do you approach balancing short-term results with the long-term vision of your company?
I think short-term results are not a contradiction to our long-term vision. Yeah, they're more like a part of it, like steps on a staircase. So we are trying to maintain a balance between short and long-term results, to neither chase quick wins at the expense of sustainability. nor lose agility by thinking too far ahead. I think also a good analogy for this in sports is, let's say a team wants to win the Champions League. It cannot only focus on the final vision. It must take it one game at a time. Ensuring continuous progress while keeping the big picture in mind. Similarly to Q1, we focus on hitting key milestones, such as getting more users, getting more shops, securing funding, expanding to new markets, and many more. But that helps us to move step by step forward to our ultimate vision of becoming then the market leader in the DACH region and expanding to even more markets than the e-commerce market in even more countries.
Mm-hmm. Your influences and inspirations. You mentioned your father as a successful entrepreneur. What specific advice or lessons has he shared with you that you're still applying to your own business and journey?
Wow, that's a good question. I think there are countless lessons I've learned from my father, as many of our conversations have shaped my mindset and as my approach to business. Maybe a few key insights might be that every problem can be solved with the right mindset, and also that the challenges are not roadblocks but rather steps on the ladder to personal growth. What I mentioned earlier, before, also for me, I had some injuries in football. Many others maybe would have been sad and think, oh, why did it happen to me and not to someone else? But for me personally, I always try to figure out why did it happen? Why did God give it me? Why do I receive this challenge? And maybe then to think, okay, what can I learn from it? And what's different in that situation that I did not have in my life before, maybe. But also, the way we approach a problem, mentally often determines the outcome. And, what lessons out? A good lesson, I think, that he taught me is that everything that becomes materialistic, started as a thought, no matter if it's now a rocket, a record, a chair, no matter, everything started as a thought, also with artificial intelligence. That means that also helped me staying confident in turning vision into reality. So these are some of the insights or lessons he taught me. If I would move on, I think I would talk too much now.
Also wondering, there's a big inspiration inside your family. Are there any entrepreneurs or leaders you admire or you draw inspiration from outside of your family?
Yeah, there are many entrepreneurs that I admire. I could name a few without wanting to judge their political influence or anything. For example, Elon Musk. I think what he achieved in the past is absolutely incredible with PayPal and also now Tesla and SpaceX. The things he's bringing into life are absolutely incredible. He just has a thought and then directly he brings it to reality. So I think Elon Musk, what he did also was selling PayPal for, I think it was 1.5 billion. Also, when his shares were only worth 180 million. But also the founder of Telegram, for example, Pavel Durov. I think what he achieved, they are a team of less than 40 employees and they, have achieved the milestone of getting more than 1 billion users. The founders of Instagram, I think it's also a great story. Or the WhatsApp story. They sold the company for 19 billion with less than 60 employees. I think that's also one of the best stories in this market. The Somewhere Brothers, maybe, who also founded Zalando and then many other businesses. But also from my close or personal environment, I admire entrepreneurs like the father of two friends of mine, who build up a company with now nearly 1 billion in revenue. And they also started in roughly in my age. So there are definitely a few entrepreneurs that I admire.
Yes, I think so. Looking at your future plans and vision, what's next for Q1?
What's next for Q1? There are many products and features we will launch in the near future. some of them I can maybe tell from the development we started Q1. It's easy to integrate new systems. Our German listeners will know maybe Payback. Yeah, I don't know if the people from outside Germany will know it, but for Payback, users can get points if they buy something with their Payback app or card. And also we could integrate, or we want to integrate, solutions like Payback into Q1, so that users only need to maybe save their Payback customer ID in their Q1 account. And if they're on an online shop which supports Payback online, it could automatically fetch the Payback customer number to even integrate that. Also, an own payment method of Q1. At the moment, we are not handling the payment. We are giving the user the opportunity to save his payment, his favorite payment solution. But we are not we are not handling the payment at the moment. Also, the integration of artificial intelligence is very interesting for Q1. There are a few concepts we have planned for that. Nothing that's final where I could say more about it. But also an own loyalty program where users get points for their engagement on social media posts now, for example, or videos, or in general for their engagement in ordering with Q1, for their engagement in touch with Q1. But except of launching new products and features, we also constantly optimize the current solution, it's the platform or the plugins now, the APIs. I hope I was able to answer your question.
Yes, and where do you see this all emerge, get together in the next 5 to 10 years?
In 5 to 10 years, I for sure want to look back on a big success. But I think in the next 5-6 years, we could we will see a huge international reach of Q1. Maybe also over 100,000 online shops that use Q1 already. We want to have more than 10 million active users per month in that time. But even more industries and markets should profit from the IDAN system that time, not only the e-commerce market. For example, the standard things also for me personally and my family, that everyone is healthy and fit.
We'll be back after a short ad break for the last few questions. Hey guys, welcome back to the last part of my interview with Julian, the founder of Q1, that offers the IDAN number for getting your deliveries and payments in one short word. Football played a huge role in your life, and now you're focused on entrepreneurship. Do you still find time to watch and play football, and how does it help you to unwind and motivate you?
I still take the time to play football. So 2 times per week, I take the time to play with my friends and get a free mind to have plays, maybe also for new thoughts and ideas. I think that's very important for me, not only to keep me motivated, but also just to, like I mentioned, get a free mind and forget all the challenges, and then focus afterwards on all the ideas for it again. Watching football is most of the time not possible time wise, but sometimes I manage to watch a game in the evening with my dad and then talk about a Q1 habit. But I definitely take the time for playing football and get a free mind.
It's always good to have a place where you can unwind and get new ideas. Finally, you have been involved in a lot of different aspects of your business. If you weren't working on Q1 right now, what's something else you could see doing yourself right now or in the future?
Frankly speaking, I cannot consider anything else than working with all my energy for Q1. it's a lot of fun. And for me, and I couldn't imagine a better life than the one I live at the moment. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Julian. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show today and hearing your incredible journey. As we wrap up, we'd love to hear from our audience. What's one piece of advice or insight from today's episode that resonated most with you? Drop your thoughts in the comment below. We are excited to see what you took away from Julian's story and how it might impact your own entrepreneurial journey. Julian, we usually end our interviews with two questions. Number one, are you looking for new employees? And secondly, are you open to talk to new investors?
Yes, I can answer both questions with yes. Yeah.
that is pretty sure. So everybody who would be interested to work with you, do you have a company website or should they straight apply via the...
It's keyone.me, like in the background, maybe they can see. Ah, no, not on the podcast.
We'll link it down here in the show notes.
Yeah.
And the investors, can they approach you straight on LinkedIn?
Exactly, yeah. We can also link my LinkedIn profile.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. It was a pleasure.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.